listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
We're going to get started, and we're going to talk about, I'm in the middle of a series right now, a two-part series, so I'm dead in the middle of it, I guess, a two-part series on salt and light. And last week we talked about being light, and this week we want to talk about being salt. And I got to thinking, do I want to change my whole sermon to make it about moms, or do I want to keep on going? But as I thought about it, really with what I'm going to say today about salt, it is mom. I mean, whenever I get to talking about salt and I start explaining some things about salt today, you're going to find out that moms, you are the salt of the earth. I truly believe that. When I think about my own mother, one of the things that stands out to me about my mom is, you know, we talked about last week about being light, and light is bright, it shines, everybody sees light. But a lot of times salt is not seen. Salt is it's small, you put it in food, you don't really see it, you taste it, but you don't really see it. It's kind of behind the scenes, and that's what I think about when I think about my mom. I remember when I was a kid and we lived overseas, and my dad would leave to go do ministry, and sometimes my dad would be gone 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time, out in the jungles of Guatemala or out in the mountains somewhere, or, you know, he'd be out doing ministry, but it was mom that stayed home with me and my brother. It was mom that was there for us, you know, when dad was out doing his thing, and he was doing good things, but dad was gone a lot, and it was mom that was there the whole time behind the scenes. So when everybody was looking at dad, and we all thought of dad as this big hero, and he gets these cool stories about how, you know, there was a dead baby in a village one time, and he got to hold that baby and begin to pray over that baby, and the baby came back to life. And he gets these stories about how these, you know, people came out of the jungles one time wanting to arrest him and wanting to take him, you know, take him off, and God miraculously saved him from that situation. And mom didn't get those stories. Mom got the stories of, you know, Gabriel threw up on the floor again and we had to clean it up. And, you know, and Michael got in a car accident and she had to show up. You know, mom didn't get the cool stories that dad got. But mom was just as important. And I got to thinking about mom, and sometimes, you know, we view dads, especially little boys, we always view our dads as like this superhero, you know. And really, mom is kind of like the Clark Kent to Superman. She's still a superhero. She just doesn't necessarily wear a cape and a big S on her chest. She's hidden, you know, a lot of times behind the glasses and the regular clothes. And that's how I feel about my mom a lot of times. Is she's just as much a superhero. She just may not always look like it and get all the fun, cool things. But that's still mom. And so today when I talk about salt, I want you to think about your mom. I want you to think about, and if you are a mom, I want you to think about the different aspects of salt. Because I found out some really cool stuff about salt. So I want you to be thinking about the different ways that really you are a lot like salt. You know, a lot of times whenever we talk about this salt and this light, and last week we preached on being light, and I gave everybody little flashlights, you know, and just as a reminder that I want you to be light, that God has called you to be light in a dark world. But today, God has also called you to be salt. In Matthew 5:13, it says that you're to be salt. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And so it's important for us to understand both sides of it. But here's the thing. A lot of times, it's easy for us to want to be light, right? I was talking to a friend last night, and we had to go to a dance recital. I don't know if you dads have ever been to dance recitals before, but I kind of figure if I ever died and went to hell, it might be a dance recital. I'm just saying, it was awful. There's cool dancing in the world. I'm all about cool dancing, but this was not cool dancing. It was, you know, Diva did a great job dancing today. I'm super proud of that, but when you see 33-year-olds and 4-year-olds, it's just, and you have to sit through 4 hours of it. It was hard. So we were sitting there and we were talking about, you know, the different aspects. And I was saying, you know, for me, it's really easy to be up in front of people. I love to speak to a crowd. I really do. Like this is nothing for me. But you get me one-on-one, or you put me in a small group of people, and I really struggle. I hate talking to people one-on-one. You get me even more trapped. Put me on a telephone. Oh, my goodness. You would think you're pulling my fingernails out. I hate being on a telephone because I'm just not good at the small stuff. But you know what? That's how salt and light are. Light, a lot of times, is up in front of everybody. Light is shining for everybody to see. But salt is the dirty part of Christianity. Salt is the part that's dug up out of the ground. Salt is the part that gets stuck in a wound somewhere. Salt is the part that's behind the scenes, maybe. And that's the hard part of being a Christian, is being salt. But it's just as important as being light. It's just as important as being light. And it's very easy for us a lot of times to want to tell people about our faith or to go out and shine for people. But it's very hard for us to want to lead people through the wounds and the pains and the issues of life. That's the hard part. And that's what salt is all about today. So today we want to talk about, what does it mean to be salt? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And we're not going to take a long time today. We just want to... I want you to be able to enjoy time with your moms. But we're going to come out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and we really want to explore this verse for a few minutes. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Let's look at a couple of thoughts here. Number one, it says you are the salt of the earth. It didn't say you should be like salt. It didn't say you should consider salt, you know, whenever you're talking to people, whenever you're dealing with people. It says you are salt. This is a part of who you are. This is a part of your very nature. Your very being is that you are salt. We said that last week, that it wasn't necessarily a suggestion when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He said, "You are light." It is important for us to understand today that we must be salt. In order for you to fulfill your destiny, your purpose, the reason you were put on this earth, you must be salt. It's not a suggestion. It is who you are. Is salt. So today, later on, whenever we go through talking about salt and the different aspects of salt and what Jesus might have meant when he was talking about salt, understand that is what you are meant to be. You want to know your calling in life? You want to know what it is that you were put on earth for? It is to be salt and to be light. It is not to act like salt. We said last week with the flashlight that it's very easy to turn a light off and on. And so Jesus didn't say you are a light of the world, because a light suggests that it's got the ability to turn off and on. It said you are the light of the world. You are light. When Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, he didn't say you are a salt shaker. He said you are the salt itself. You can't change who you are. This is what you are. You are salt. The next thing he says is you are the salt of the earth. That word earth there, I want us to know who we're dealing with today. Luke chapter 4. Let me just show you something out of Luke chapter 4 for just a second. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." It's important for salt to have a purpose, right? Salt does us no good if it's just sitting on a shelf somewhere. My in-laws' house, they've got they're a mixed marriage in that my mother-in-law, her taste palate is very, very bland. My father-in-law, on the other hand, is Mr. Salt. I mean, my father-in-law will pour more salt into scrambled eggs, so much so that there are times when you literally can't eat it. Now, I love salt. I will lick salt straight off the ground if I have to. When I was deer hunting with my dad, there'd be times we'd take a salt lick out for deer, and I had to taste it at least one time just to see what it was like. I mean, I love salt. But my father-in-law can make me spit out some eggs with as much salt as he puts it. So you got these two totally different worlds coming together, right? So salt does us no good if it's just sitting on the shelf. We got to know what salt is for. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, as Jesus begins to proclaim and tell people why he was sent, why he came to the earth. Listen to this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what, Jesus? To preach the gospel to the poor." Underline that word poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Underline brokenhearted. "To proclaim liberty to the captives." Underline captives. "And the recovery of sight to the blind." Underline blind. And then he says, "And to set at liberty those who are oppressed." You can underline oppressed. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was sent here for a purpose. He was sent here not for a happy-go-lucky world. He wasn't sent here for a perfect world. He wasn't sent to earth to be salt in a place where everything's already perfect. He was sent to a place that was brokenhearted. He was sent to a place that was captive. He was sent to a place that was blind. He was sent to a place that needed healing. Folks, we live in a world today that needs help. We live in a world today that is fractured and broken and hurt. We live in a world today that is blind. So many people have no vision, no future, no hope. And God has called us through Jesus Christ to be that to everyone we come in contact with. We are sent here to heal. Think about healing the brokenhearted. I was reading on Facebook the other day. My wife was showing me some stuff on Facebook and you know, they just came out with this ruling in North Carolina about gay marriages, and that, you know, they're not allowing gay marriages in North Carolina. And so many people are in an uproar over that. I think it's funny, we're, you know, Christians and non-Christians alike in an uproar over gay marriage. And yet, you know, in Colorado, I think it was, the Senate just passed down that a day of prayer is unconstitutional. Nobody says anything about that. I mean, that's not that big a deal, prayer, you know. And I think it's just one of these things today. There are so many people that are so hurt and so brokenhearted. And let me tell you something. Part of the reason why we have such big fights among Christians and non-Christians, among all this stuff. And look, I was reading through what a Christian posted on Facebook about the gay marriage thing. And as he was posting, you know, his thought was, hey, we got to just all love Jesus. As long as you love Jesus, it doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't matter about your sexual orientation. And then I was reading other people and they were on there blasting him for saying that. And it was just back and forth. And I thought, at the end of the day, we've got to be salt. We live in a world that is brokenhearted. And I thought, if Christians would have acted the way we were supposed to act all these years, we may not be dealing with the issues that we're dealing with today. I think part of our big problem as Christians is as Christians, we haven't been salt. We've been a lot of things. We've been light. We've been real good at getting on TV and preaching the gospel. We've been real poor at taking people from point A to point B, though. We've been real good at getting up in front of thousands of people. Look, I've been to the Jimmy Swaggart, services. I remember when I was a kid in Costa Rica, we went to hear Jimmy Swaggart. And if you don't know who Jimmy Swaggart is, he used to be a preacher out of South Louisiana. And Jimmy was big time. I mean, he would get up and fill soccer stadiums full of people. I thought it was funny when we went and saw Jimmy Swaggart in Costa Rica. Somebody asked a person, they said, what did you think about Jimmy Swaggart? Of course, Jimmy was preaching with an interpreter in Costa Rica. He can't speak Spanish. And if you've ever seen someone talk or preach with an interpreter, you talk for a minute, and then they talk for a minute, you talk for a minute, they talk for a minute. A little guy from Costa Rica said, Jimmy preached really good, but I wish that American would have stopped interrupting him every 30 seconds. I thought it was funny. See, Jimmy Swagger gets up. He loves to preach, and we got all kinds of people watching Jimmy. Next thing you know, he's caught in adultery somewhere. Now his whole light is extinguished. There's got to be an area of salt where we are down ministering to people and we're loving people. We've got to understand that these things of healing the brokenhearted, of taking care of the blind, giving them a future and a hope, of setting captives free. See, it's not enough anymore for you to have somebody raise their hand and say, yes, I want to get saved. But if they stay captive, it doesn't do us any good. You can come down to the altar all day long and, well, I don't guess we really have an altar, but you can come down to the edge of the skating rink all day long and you can pray and you can ask God to forgive you of your sins, and that's great. We want that to happen. But if you're still addicted to drugs, that's not what God wants for you. If you still have no purpose and no destiny, that's not what God wants for you. If you're still brokenhearted and hurt, that's not what God wants for you. And we are called to be salt. We are called to be salt. The next thing it says is, if salt loses its flavor, how then shall it be seasoned? If salt loses its flavor, how then shall it be seasoned? I got to thinking about this one because I really wanted to understand about salt and losing its flavor. Let me tell you something. I was reading, there's a book by a guy named Dr. Thompson, I think Dr. William Thompson, and I haven't read the book, just excerpts of the book, and I'm not exactly sure why he went to Israel to study salt. I really Don't know why he would do that. You know, that's not really one of those cool things that's on my bucket list. You know, let's go study salt in another country. If I'm going to another country, I want to go shoot something or sit at a beach somewhere or climb a mountain, right? Let's do something fun. Anyways, Thompson is, I guess, a nerd. And so he goes to Israel and he wants to study salt and why Jesus said this about salt. So while he's there, he's studying. And he found out that back in the like 70s or 80s, the Israeli government decided to mine salt out of a bunch of marshes. Well, in order to do that, they got this guy from Sidon to come in, and he was kind of like the foreman, the guy in charge of the mining process. Now, this isn't necessarily mining salt out of the regular earth. It was mining out of marshes and stuff, so the salt content was a little bit different. It's very mixed up with other minerals and different things that were in there. We're not talking about pure salt. We're not talking about sea salt. We're not talking about iodized salt. We're just talking about, you know, salt coming out of the ground. And so this guy goes in, and he is mining all this salt, and he's got all these workers mining salt. Well, in order for him to kind of stick it to the government and kind of cheat the government a little bit, since the government was already paying for him to do this, he went in to this village and rented 65 houses in this village and then proceeded to fill them all up with salt. If you don't know, salt is valuable. I mean, it really does carry a lot of weight. And so this guy decides, I'm going to cheat the government. We're going to supply my hometown with as much salt as possible. So he rents all these houses and fills them all up with salt. Well, after a few years, they come back into those houses to get the salt. And there was a couple of problems with the salt. See, some of that salt, they left exposed outside the house. Once they filled up the house, they had to put it somewhere. And so it was stacked up outside the house. And they said that the salt that was sitting outside and exposed to the sun and the rain had lost all of its saltiness. They said it still looked like salt. You could still pick it up and crumble it up. But whenever you tasted it, there was no taste whatsoever. The other thing that they said was that the salt inside the house, these houses just had dirt floors. They said the salt inside the house that was touching the ground, everywhere the salt touched the ground, it lost all of its flavor. They said at which point there was nothing else to do with the salt but take it out and throw it literally in the street and trample it down just to provide kind of like gravel in the street for animals and people to walk on. So he said this must have been exactly what Jesus was talking about whenever he talked about when salt loses its flavor, it needs to be thrown out into the street and trampled on by animals and men. The point here is that salt, when it comes in contact with the ground, this particular salt loses its flavor. Can I tell you today, you want to know how can we lose our flavor? We lose our flavor when we get too close to the ground. When we get too close to the earth, we lose our flavor. So many times people nowadays want to say, well, I got to just be like them. If I can just be like somebody, I can win them to Jesus. The Bible never says that. The Bible says you be salt and you be light. It never says you be like everybody else. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Yep. Don't try and be like everybody else. You be salt and you be light. You don't be like everybody else. Amen. The Bible says this, if you are light, people will notice that and they will find Jesus. Can I tell you something? If you are salt, people will notice that too. You don't have to be like everybody else to be effective. People want to quote Paul when Paul says, you know, I make myself like other men in order to win some. The Bible really means there that he wants to find common ground with other people. It doesn't say that to people that are alcoholics, Paul is going and getting wasted in a bar somewhere so he can be a witness to them. That doesn't help anything, right? It says I find common ground. I find something that we can agree on. And whenever I find something we can agree on, I've got my foot in the door. I'm ready to be a witness. I'm ready to be salt and light to them. That's why whenever I read these comments on Facebook about, you know, about different things. And look, when it comes to gay marriage, I think it's so funny. People get so upset that the Bible says it's supposed to be man and woman. I mean, that's what the Bible says. But did you know, I mean, the Torah, the Jewish Bible says the same thing. The Quran, the Bible for the Islam, says the same thing. When we're talking about the three major religions in the world, all can agree on one thing, right? There's other aspects that a lot of times we just want to kind of smooth over because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I'm going to tell you today, there's got to be some kind of standard. There's got to be some kind of standard in Christianity. There's got to be some kind of standard in your walk, in your life. There's got to be a standard. And the closer you put the salt to the ground, the less effective it becomes. The closer the salt gets to the world, the less effective it becomes. We've got to keep ourselves separate but useful. Separate but useful. Let me tell you a couple of ways we can be useful in being salt. I want to give you four properties of salt today. So if you don't get anything I say today, at least get one of these properties because this is something that you can apply to your life. First property of salt is flavor, right? Everybody knows that. How many of you love salty stuff? Come on now, yeah, baby. I love salty stuff. I mean, I would almost put salt on bacon. I love salty stuff so much, right? Doesn't bacon make everything better? Man, I'm telling you, you know what I want? I want bacon wrapped with bacon. Ooh, it's good. I love bacon. Salt. Here's the cool thing about salt. I did not realize this, but salt, number one thing about salt and its flavor is salt will enhance other flavors. If you put salt into something sweet, it will enhance the sweetness in that thing. Man, that's good. The other thing salt does is salt will mask bitter flavors. I didn't realize this until one time I went camping. I went camping and we're doing this pre-1850 camping, which means that everything you have is supposed to be like it would have been in the 1800s. I cheat a lot when I do that, by the way. I don't have beds like they had in the 1800s. Okay, I don't sleep on the ground. I have an air mattress. But one of the things I went and bought is I got me this chocolate that was made in the same process as it was made in the 1700s and 1800s. And I got this chocolate, and I thought, man, I'm going to bust me up some chocolate, make some hot chocolate. I got my water all hot and boiling. I took my little, break off a little piece of this chocolate. It comes in like a disc, and you break off a piece, drop it in your hot water, and you stir it up. And I'm so excited. I was like, yeah, baby, hot chocolate. You know, it's awful. That stuff tasted so bad. It was so bitter. I didn't realize how bad it really was. It was awful. Salt will mask. They use salt in chocolate to mask the bitterness of the chocolate. Can I tell you today, if you are salt, one of the things that you've got to learn to do is you've got to learn to enhance the flavors in other people. Wow. When you see something good in another person, you enhance the flavors in that person. And you mask the bitterness in that person. Your life should be such that when you see bitterness in someone else, you cover that up, you remove that, and you bring out all the good that is in them. My mother, speaking of mothers being salt, my mother is totally irrational when it comes to her boys and them doing wrong. My mom can catch my brother and I doing something wrong and will blame someone else for it. She knows we're not perfect, but she wants us to be perfect. It's so funny. We'll be talking sometimes and we'll be talking about whatever. We may say something about my brother or something or say something about me and I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. I don't know if you know me that well or not, but I am just a very realistic person. I hate to over-exaggerate on stuff, and so I'll just be very realistic, and Mom will say, well, it's not really your fault, honey. I mean, really, they shouldn't have, you know, gone through that green light. I mean, what were they thinking? You know, they should have waited to make sure that you weren't running a red light, you know? And I'm just like, Mom, you're crazy, you know? But that's how moms are. And let me tell you something, men, we can learn something from moms. You know what, men, we've got a problem with a lot of times is we want to tell everybody all the bad stuff in them. Whereas moms want to say, yeah, but I know there's a lot of jacked up mess, but here's some good stuff. I love talking to some of you folks that are here visiting with your moms today. You don't know that your moms talk about you all the time. And there was a grandmother in the room today. I won't point anybody out so as not to hurt any feelings. Although I normally don't care about that, but It's Mother's Day. I'm going to be nice. There's a grandmother in the room today, and one of the things she told me one time, she was like, I just want you to pray for my grandson, and, you know, my grandson's got this jacked up and that jacked up, and they're doing this, and, you know, they've got all these problems, but he's such a great kid. He is so good and so wonderful, and all, I mean, she just got through telling me all this. I mean, this guy probably needs to be in jail, right? But yet mom is saying, but he is wonderful. He's the best grandson in the world. I'm thinking, lady, have you not seen your grandson lately? What you just told me is not right. But that's how moms are. Folks, that's what we've got to be to this world. This world knows it's brokenhearted. This world knows it's captive and it's blind. It doesn't need someone always pointing out the obvious. It needs somebody pointing out those good things, those good flavors inside, and drawing them out. And that's what we've got to be. If we're going to be salt, there's people at your job right now. Some of you can picture this person at your job right now. And you're, the first thing you think is the five bad things that you hate about that person. You're thinking right now, why I do not want to be in the cubicle next to them tomorrow morning. But I'm telling you, there's something good in that person. And it's up to you as salt to draw the good out and cover up the bad. The next thing that salt does that I think is so cool is salt heals. Salt has a healing property to it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times people use salt with water. If you take salt water, and salt water can heal all kinds of stuff. You know what this is? This is Epsom salt. How many of you ever taken an Epsom salt bath before? Heck yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we would go out and I would go hiking. And I'd go out hiking on these trails, you know, and you're carrying the backpack and you're out sleeping on the ground. And I'd get home and every bone and muscle in my body would be sore, right? And I'd come home, what would mama do? Mama would say, baby, get in the bathtub. I'm pour some Epsom salt in there. She'd dump a bunch of Epsom salt in the bathtub. I'd get in that bathtub and just relax. I remember one time I woke up freezing cold. I think I had fallen asleep in the bathtub for about 2 hours and no one caught it. And I'm laying in the bathtub shivering like this, you know. I had lots of Epsom salt on me, so I felt good. I was so relaxed. But it's so cool that salt water, one of the things my dad used to do and my mom used to do whenever I would pull my teeth out, you know, of course, when you pull your tooth out, it starts bleeding everywhere. They would always fix me a glass of salt water. Pour it in my mouth, swish it around for a little while, then spit it out. Why? Because salt water has a healing property to it. And listen, that's one of the things that we've got to be in life as we are salt, is we've got to heal people. We've got to heal the brokenhearted. We've got to heal the issues of life. I think it's one of these things we forget and we think church is where you come to get healed. I'm telling you, you are church. So wherever you go is church. And therefore, you have healing with you wherever you go. Here's something else that I like about that is it's not just regular old salt that heals. A lot of times it's that saline solution, the salt and the water. Something about that makes it even more effective. Listen, whenever you take who you are, which is salt, and you add the water of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can heal all kinds of wounds. You can heal all kinds of broken hearts. There are people in your family right now that are brokenhearted. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you today, God can use you to heal the brokenhearted. God can use you to heal those that are hurt. We got to be salt today. So number one, we're flavor. Number two, we bring healing. The third thing salt does is salt preserves. I remember as a kid, you know, you shoot an animal and then you take the hide and you cut the hide off. And I was never good at tanning the hide necessarily, but what I was good at is I would take salt and I would rub it in that hide. And you know what it would do? It would preserve the inside of that hide where it wouldn't rot. We've been to places in Guatemala where you go up in the jungles and they don't have refrigerators. They don't have ice. They don't have any way of preserving their food. So what do? They take big chunks of meat and just rub them down with salt. And then hang them up. And it preserves that meat. Something about that salt kills bacteria and microorganisms that would want that meat to spoil. But the salt preserves it. We've got to be that kind of preservation for those around us. If we are salt, then we've got to preserve those around us. There are people right now in your family, people right now at your jobs that are falling apart. They are falling apart. And we've known Christians before. We've got people in this house today that are just barely making it. But if we are salt, then we are the ones that come in and wrap our arms around them and say, you may not can make it by yourself. And there may be a lot of stuff in your life trying to spoil who you are and trying to spoil what God has done in you. But I am going to carry you. I am going to preserve you. I am going to walk this thing out with you. Salt preserves. Folks, that is our job. I'm going to read in just a second in my next point a verse out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And one of the things that verse says is it says it is our job to go in and strengthen the feeble knees and feet of our brothers and sisters that are just trying to make it. It says you go in and strengthen them so that healing can come. Sometimes we just need to preserve people. Now, that's hard. A lot of times we want to kind of back off from folks and say, man, this is too much drama for me. But at the end of the day, someone's got to preserve people and keep people from falling. And that's your job and my job. The last thing about salt that I really like, and this is a lot like moms, is salt can create a pathway. How many of you ever been driving on an icy road and get stuck? Last year, on my way to church, remember when we had that ice storm blow through here and everything just froze over? We were on our way to church, and Perry told me, she was so smart. She said, you know, do not go to church. Like, today is not the day to go to church. This road is just too icy. And me, being the adventurer that I am, said, no, we're going to try and go to church. So we're driving down the road. Huh? We being the key word with our kids. We're driving down the road, and we get all the way down the road until the cops said, y'all got to turn around and go back. So we turned around, and we start going back. I do not have a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I found out very quickly that little button that says like stability control, whatever it is, that it may as well just be a green light on my car because it doesn't do jack on ice. I get on that ice, man, we're going, you know, and just spinning out, not doing anything. And I'm seeing other cars slamming off the side of the road. And we were in trouble. What do they do whenever you got an icy road to kill the ice and to make the road passable? What do they put on it? Salt. Salt. They put salt on the road to make the paths passable. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at that real quick. I want to read this and then we're going to be about to close. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Listen to this. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Paul is telling us, make a path, make it straight, make it passable. There are so many people today that want to and need to find Jesus Christ, but we make it so difficult to find Christ. I remember one time I brought some friends of mine to church and I knew they weren't saved. I knew they weren't serving God. I knew they were going to hell. And I bring them to church with me. And I remember the message was preached and the songs were played. And they said, you can come down to the front if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and make a change. And these two buddies of mine went down. I was so excited and I went down with them. And they prayed. And as soon as they stood up, I said, now, you know, you better stop cussing, you better stop drinking, you better stop doing this, and you better stop doing that. All of a sudden, I just started putting all this weight on their shoulders. They never came back to church. They didn't get better, they got worse. They're not serving God to this day. I take some of that responsibility. Now, am I saying we've got to water down Christianity and make it just so easy? No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. You need to make the path as passable as possible. We let it stay slick with ice and people can't hardly get to Jesus because of all the rules and regulations. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and they were telling me that they were smoking. And they said, I got to quit smoking, man. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And I said, you know, he said, what do you think about smoking? I said, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about smoking. I mean, it really doesn't. I said, it does talk about addictions, and we know that addictions are wrong. You don't need to be addicted to anything. And I said, but why don't you do this for me for the next week? Won't you pray? Won't you talk to Jesus? Won't you read your Bible? And then you come back and tell me what he says about your smoking. That guy came back and said, man, I hadn't smoked in 2 weeks. I felt like Jesus told me to quit. Man, let's make the path as easy as possible for people to get to Jesus. Let's not try and make it so hard that nobody finds Christ. Let's make it as easy as possible. You know how you're going to make it easy as possible? With your life. Let people see you as salt. Let people see you as somebody that will heal. Let people see you as somebody that will preserve them. Let people see you as somebody that will bring out the good things of their life and not always point out the bad things. Let people see you as salt. Let people see you as light, and they will want to find Jesus. They will want to find Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But we hide Jesus. We hide Jesus behind a bunch of rules and regulations instead of just letting people find him and let him do the work in their life. Those boys, if they would have gotten, the closer they would have gotten to Jesus, the more they would have found out how jacked up their life was and that they needed to make some changes. I know that. The Bible says that. The Bible says it itself is a mirror, and the more we look into it, the more we become like him. So why are we trying to be the Holy Spirit for everybody? Let's make the path straight. Let's be salt. And let's take away all the slippery areas. Let's take away everything that would keep people from falling. And let's get people as close to Christ as we possibly can. That's why we've started saying our Sunday mornings. And I know we've got visitors here today, and it's not the stuff I'm supposed to say in front of guests. But that's why we tell all of our church people, Sunday morning isn't about you. You're already a Christian. Sunday morning is about people that don't know Jesus. Sunday morning is about people that need to be healed, people that are broken, people that are hurting. That's what Sunday morning's about. And that's why on Sunday morning we want, from the front door, from the parking lot, all the way to the stage, we want to make as easy a path as possible for people to know the love of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. I'm going to close today, and as I do, we're going to hand out a gift to everybody. I say it's a gift. It's not much of a gift. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 11 as my final verse for the day. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30 is where we're going to go in just a quick second. These guys are going to hand out a little salt shaker to you. And as you get this little salt shaker, it's not much. I mean, matter of fact, it's rather cheap. But it's just a little thing today. I want you to remember that you are called to be salt. Your destiny is to be salt today. It is what God has put in your DNA, is to be salt today. I know these guys are passing those out, but I need everybody to look at me for just a second, because I want to give you this last thing that Dr. Thompson said about the salt that he found in Israel. Let me give you this last thought. Remember I said that the salt was very impure that they found in Israel. It had a lot of other stuff inside of it. It had a lot of stuff with it. Isn't that just like us today? I've got as jacked up a life as anybody else. I mean, you may say, well, my vice is worse than your vice. Sure, it might be harder to get over, but the fact is we've all got issues. We've all got problems. We're all impure salt. But here's what Dr. Thompson said. He said this. He said whenever he looked at that salt that was laying on the ground and had lost all of its saltiness. But Dr. Thompson said this. Whenever I looked at the salt that had lost all of its saltiness, as I began to dig through it, begin to bust it up, I found this, that a lot of that salt was caked up around rocks. And the salt that was attached to the rock never lost its saltiness. Now the salt on the outside that touched the ground, or the salt on the outside that felt the rain and was burned up by the sun, it lost all of its flavor. But the salt that stayed connected to the rock on the inside never lost its flavor. Can I tell you today, there's a rock named Jesus Christ, and if you can stay connected to Him, no matter what rain, no matter what sun, no matter what the earth may do to you, if you can stay connected to Jesus Christ, the rock, you will not lose your effectiveness, you will not lose your flavor, you will not lose your ability to be a witness for Him. You've got to stay connected to the rock. Jesus says this, talking about all of our problems. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, "I know you've got problems. I know you've got impurities. I know you've got addictions and issues. I know that there's a lot of junk attached to your life. But if you will just come and connect yourself to me, if you will just follow me, if you will give me your life, I will take on all your issues and I will preserve your destiny and your purpose." Some of us today need to get connected to the rock. There's some of us today, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you're not a Christian or you are a Christian, you are salt today. You are salt. You may say, "Gabriel, you don't know me. I've never served God. I've never been in church. I drink and do drugs and sleep around. I do all this stuff. You don't know me." It doesn't matter what I think about you or what I know about you. The fact is, you're salt. Every one of us is salt. It's just a matter if you're connected to the rock or not. It's just a matter if you're effective or not. And today, you and I have the choice. We get to choose whether or not we're connected to the rock. Why don't you stand up with me today?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.